Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor online at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. We're quite possessive, as I mention quite often. He joins us weekly, as I mention weekly. The films, True History of the Kelly Gang, Deerskin, and Spaceship Earth. Once again, a sentence most intriguing. Hi, David. How are you?
Okay, Jill. How are you doing this week?
Fine. And, you know, it's really, these titles are so evocative. I'm not even sure you need to see the films.
Well, maybe you're right. And I'm sure that you could put them together to these three titles to fashion a very interesting narrative. However, this is another week where our theme is that there is no theme. These movies are all very, very different from each other in just about all ways. But, you know, they're all out there right now. They are streaming around. They are easy for people to find. And since most of the movie theaters are still closed, that is the way to see movies nowadays. So I thought I would call it attention to these three. And let us begin with True History of the Kelly Gang. This is a movie directed by Justin Kurzel, and it is a sort of a Western, and it is about the Australian outlaw Ned Kelly. Now, he has been featured. He has been the protagonist of movies before now. Every once in a while, somebody decides to set his exploits to the music of motion pictures. And one of the people who played him years ago in a Ned Kelly movie was Mick Jagger, of all people. Mick Jagger, kind of like Bob Dylan, every once in a great while, he's tried. And also like Madonna, I should mention, every once in a while, these phenomenal successful pop singers, pop figures with astonishing talents try to get a real movie career going, and they just never manage to do it. So many years ago, the movie Ned Kelly was maybe Mick Jagger's most heart-rending attempt to get a real movie star career going. And again, he did not succeed at that. But he's one of the people who has played Ned Kelly in the past. And in the present instance, Ned Kelly is played by George MacKay. And there are a lot of other people in the movie. Russell Crowe is in it, and very good, by the way, a small role, and it didn't look like Russell Crowe. It took me a while to recognize him, but he's in it. Charlie Hunnam is in it. So, you know, interesting cast. However, the main character is Ned Kelly, and he is an outlaw, and the movie is divided into three pretty, movie is a little over 2 hours long, and it's divided into three pretty long chapters. We have him as a boy, then we have him as a man, and then we have him in the latter part of his career when, I will use my own word here, he's sort of a savage. He's a very, very bad dude, becomes a real vicious criminal. And one of the things that the movie wants to accomplish is to sort of show how he became like this. He goes through a whole lot of hard knocks as a child. There's all kinds of, this is what we're talking about Australia back in the later part of the 19th century. And things are very, very rough there. So little Ned Kelly goes through all kinds of very difficult things as a child. And we are given the idea that maybe some of this stuff and family strife and so forth is what is turning him bad, but he definitely turns very, very bad. One of the big themes running through the movie is his relationship with his mother, and it's a very tortured and tormented and bizarre relationship. She herself is not exactly a very virtuous person. So that's the kind of thing this movie gets into. But mainly the movie is, again, kind of a Western. It's full of action. It's full of adventure. It's full of stuff like that. And of course, true to the title of the movie, we have Ned Kelly putting together his famous gang. And by the way, the whole movie is narrated by Ned Kelly, who is writing what he regards as the true history of what really happened to him and his gang from prison. And this is not exactly a spoiler, because sort of everybody who has any familiarity with Ned Kelly at all knows this, but he was executed. He was hanged when he was still a pretty young man. He was caught and convicted and hanged. So the whole thing is sort of posthumous. And this movie, True History of the Kelly Gang, has been called a kind of a postmodern look at the story, partly because it has this flashback style, and partly because it jumps around in time a lot. It's a fairly linear story, but it jumps around to some extent. But more important, I think, and what is most interesting about the movie is that it has a really phenomenal visual style. So again, you have to be ready when you go to see this movie for a Western. You have to be ready for a very violent Western, almost in the old Sam Peckinpah vein, all kinds of violence and horror going on throughout it. But above all, you have to be ready for, or you know, I hope you're ready for, some really just amazing visuals. This movie absolutely is just dazzles the eye. I don't mean just with beauty, although sometimes it's beauty, but just with very potent, pungent, powerful images that just come one after another. And I just found my eyes opening wider and wider as the movie went along. So most people will see this as a very violent Western, and it very definitely is that. But I also saw it as a real sumptuous visual experience. This is what movies are for, in my opinion, or one of the things they're for, is to give you these kind of really dazzling spectacles. Not always dazzling in a pleasant way, but it's just cinematically, it's a remarkable movie. So I really did like it very much. I'm not saying the movie's anything remotely close to a masterpiece. It's not even one of the great Westerns. It's just a very good Western, very violent Western, and again, with a tremendously potent visual style, which I recommended on that basis alone. I guess it's too bad that we're not in a period when the movie can have the major part of its initial exposure in movie theaters with great big screens. But you know, if you have a halfway decent screen and you get fairly close to it, I think you'll find here a movie that will really fill your eyes. True History of the Kelly Gang is really quite an audiovisual feast, in my opinion. Now, our next movie for today, Deerskin, is the opposite of that. It was written and directed by Quentin Dupieux, and it's a French movie, and it stars Jean Dujardin as a very eccentric man. As we gradually gather over the early part of the movie, he's going through a divorce. He is very, very unhappy about this divorce, and he is a very strange person. And when we first meet him in the movie, he is on his way to do a little errand. He is going to this person who he has never met before to buy a deerskin jacket, and he meets this person in the person's home, and the person shows him the jacket, and our main character, whose name is Georges, Georges just loves the deerskin jacket and immediately buys it for a lot of money, and the guy who sells it to him is so surprised that he is getting all this money for this ordinary deerskin jacket that he says, I'll throw in a bonus. I'll throw in something else into the sale here just for you. And he gives him a video camcorder. No particular reason why this should be. He just seems to have it around his house. He doesn't seem to need it, so he throws it in with the deal. So now our main character, Georges, has two things. He has this deerskin jacket, which he is really, really, really in love with, and he has a video recorder. So he then sort of goes out into the world, and he meets a young woman who is a server in a bar, and they get to talking, and he sort of decides to pretend that he is actually a filmmaker. He does, after all, have this video recorder with him. And she asks him some questions, and he is so completely ignorant as to what in the world a filmmaker even is that his answers are nonsensical. But the young woman, whose name is Denise, wants to believe this so much that she does believe it. And she decides she's going to be his assistant. She's going to be his editor. He doesn't know what a film editor is, but she just tells him that's what she's going to be. So, okay, now the two of them are sort of a team. And as the movie proceeds, he manages to accumulate a few other deerskin items, a deerskin hat, for example, and they go into the world, and he is sort of filming things with his camcorder, and she is sort of helping him edit this material, and then the movie turns very violent, because that's what she believes people want to see in the movies nowadays, is violence. So they start causing violence so that it can be filmed and so she can. Anyway, this all probably sounds very strange, and Deerskin is a very strange, unusual, offbeat sort of a parable about, I guess it's about how strange people can be when they become, they start fetishizing things, whether they're fetishizing an item of clothing like the Deerskin jacket, or fetishizing an item of equipment like the video recorder, or maybe just fetishizing their own desire to live in a sort of a fantasy world. Deerskin is an odd, I'm going to be repetitious here, a peculiar, strange little comedy drama. It has a lot of humor in it, has a lot of darkness in it. It ends at a kind of an open-ended note. You never really know how things are going to come out for at least one of the main characters. But I had a good time watching it. I like movies that take me by surprise and where I have no idea where they're going to go next. And again, this is the opposite of True History of the Kelly Gang. It is a very, very little movie with only a handful of characters. And it just took me places I had never been before. And I rather enjoyed it on that basis. It's also very nicely acted. So a very odd, odd, quirky little movie. If you want to see a quirky little movie that also happens to be pretty dark in its comedy and in its drama. Our final film for today, Spaceship Earth, is a documentary. And it is about a group of people who got together on this project, which was called Biosphere 2. Now, this whole thing was dreamed up by this man who was a sort of a the guy named John Allen. And he was a sort of a self-styled wizard of all things. He saw himself as kind of a secular prophet who understood that Earth was getting into a lot of problems and he wanted to really help out the environment and stuff like that. And over the years, he gathered around himself a group of people who sort of shared his vision and shared a faith in his leadership. And for many, many years before the Spaceship Earth project came along, they were involved in other things. They were kind of products of the hippie era. And they were engaged in various enterprises, which were, by the way, capitalistic enterprises. They had to bring in a lot of money to fund the good things they thought they were doing for the world. But they did a lot of theater work. They were involved in the arts. They were involved in they had an art gallery that they were running in England, and they did various kinds of projects in different parts of the world. But eventually, they kind of settled down on this Spaceship Earth project, and the idea was to build something called the Biosphere 2, which was basically a terrarium, a great big, completely closed, and all this is true, a great big, completely closed system in which people and animals and plants could live totally sealed off from the normal Earth environment for 2 years. And if that worked, then they would be pointing the way to a future where perhaps people could, when the Earth became uninhabitable because of what we're doing to the environment, when people could live in space stations or on the moon or on Mars in similarly self-enclosed environments. So these people, all with, by the way, helpful funding from a billionaire, got together and they managed to build this Biosphere 2, and they went into it and they were going to live in there for 2 years, and they got a tremendous amount of media attention. And all this was basically came to a head back in the early 90s. And so the movie is telling the whole history of John Allen and this group of people who he assembled around him, and then telling especially the part of their careers where they were involved in the Biosphere 2 enterprise. And it tells what happened with that, where things went right, where things went wrong, the controversy that surrounded it. And again, it's all real and it's all true, and it's a very, you know, almost as strange a story as you're going to find in the movies nowadays. Even though it all really happened. Now, there's a couple of strange things about the movie Spaceship Earth, one of which is it doesn't really tell what it was. It tells a lot of things, but not all the things I wanted to know about the actual period of spending 2 years inside Biosphere 2. So we get a very good idea, again, of problems that arose. For example, one of the people suffered an injury and then had to be taken out of the biosphere in order to have some surgery, and then went back in again. But this is the sort of thing that was not, they apparently hadn't planned for this. I mean, was the whole experiment still going to be valid if, because of some accident, somebody actually had to leave and then come back in? And this was made even more strange by the fact that when the person, after suffering the injury and having the surgery and went back into Biosphere 2, brought in some things from the outside world, which was not supposed to happen. It turned out eventually they had to set up an additional piece of equipment in order to keep the atmosphere breathable. So again, that wasn't part of the original plan. So did this sort of invalidate the whole experiment? And something else, which I have to mention, even though it's not very respectable of me, you never find out about these eight people, men and women, about what like the sexual arrangements were. I mean, did these people go for 2 years without any kind of sexual activity, or were there stuff going on? Were there romances happening? Well, none of this is ever explained. So Spaceship Earth is a movie which is absolutely fascinating, and it introduces us to a whole lot of very sort of, oh, let's say eccentric real-life personages, and tells the story of this this really interesting enterprise, which got all kinds of media coverage back when it was happening in the 90s, but which is, I think, has been largely forgotten today. So Spaceship Earth is not a great movie, but it's a very interesting documentary, and it is such timely viewing at a time when we are all, during this coronavirus situation, living in our own little biosphere twos. We're all sort of sheltering in place, and that's what they were doing in a very odd sort of way, was sheltering together, not because of an acute crisis, but because of a chronic crisis of the Earth's deteriorating environment, sheltering in place in this fabulous terrarium funded by a billionaire. So again, Spaceship Earth is not a great movie, but it's an entertaining movie. It's a good movie. It's a very, very kind of informative documentary, and it is very timely viewing in this time when so many of us are in our own biosphere twos. So that is my somewhat diversified story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you. It's amazing. The films, the true history of the Kelly Gang, Deerskin, and Spaceship Earth.